Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. I am Rob West. Psalm 82 calls on us to care for orphans, the fatherless. Today, a highly effective ministry in Zambia is doing just that, glorifying God by empowering vulnerable and orphaned children. We'll talk to Chikandi Piri about it. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our special guest today joins us all the way from Lusaka, Zambia. Chikandi Piri is Country Director of Family Legacy Missions Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy Missions International, a ministry that is literally changing the lives of thousands of kids in Zambia today. Chikandi, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Rob. It's my pleasure.
I'm delighted. It sounds like you're just next door, and yet you're halfway across the world. How yes, great is this indeed. Technology? Well, I don't think, Chikandi, that most Americans understand how desperate many of Zambia's children are for basic things like food, shelter, and education. In a country with about 6.5 million children, more than a million are orphaned due to AIDS and other factors. Now, of course, your ministry is having a huge impact, and you've got some great stories to share. But first, tell us briefly why Family Legacy is so effective.
Well, ultimately, our effectiveness and impact is because of the power of Christ at work. But yes, we also implement a unique blend of holistic care. We equip children with literacy and numerous skills necessary for life. We also help students come to know Jesus Christ and live out the gospel through a well-structured curriculum, discipleship, and Bible studies. Students also have opportunity to eat one hot and nutritious meal every day at school. And for some students, this is the only meaningful meal they have in a day. We also provide medical care and have a well-worked out emotional care program underpinned by a biblical ethos.
It's powerful. I've had a chance to witness it firsthand, and God is certainly at work. Now, I know, Chikandi, that you love telling people stories of hope, and yes, your first one is about a student, now a young man named Kennedy. Tell us about him.
Yeah, Rob, you know, for most of the children, you know, graduating from high school is a far-fetched dream when they first enter our sponsorship program. I mean, Kennedy is a classic example. He's one among the 525 students that I shook hands with during high school graduation for Family Legacy students of 2022 class last year, that is. You know, Kennedy lost his father when he was in the fourth grade. His mother has never done formal education. And humanly speaking, Rob, there was no hope for him and the rest of the family. Kennedy was recruited in the program through what we call Camp Life. That was, I think, 10 years ago. He struggled a lot because of a cardiovascular condition, which meant he had to spend several days in hospital, missing out on class. Our Family Legacy Health team cared for him and ensured he took medication and was on the mend again. Now, Kennedy is one of those children who are academically inclined. You know, most of the kids that I come across in our program are more inclined to take the trades route or the pathway than anything else. Now, prior to his graduation last year, Kennedy was honored with 7 awards by a government school he was attending. He received awards for top performance in 4 subjects. He was an overall top performer, was an exemplary leader, and most disciplined pupil in the school. Now, Kennedy is now doing 1-year trade skills course to prepare him for college or university next year. He told me a few hours ago that he looks forward to studying accounts for his first degree. Now, I need to mention this, that not all students end up like Kennedy, but our prayer is that every child who goes through our program is guided and empowered to live out their God-given potential, whatever that is. Some will end up being doctors or professors in universities. Others will be plumbers, electricians, politicians, or better still, podcasters like someone I have come to know.
Chikandi, what a powerful story. Now, I know caregivers are critical to all of this, aren't they?
They are. And in fact, in partnership with Hope International, Family Legacy is empowering caregivers of students in our program. This empowerment is meant for them to have skin in the game. Sometimes the caretakers feel they have nothing to offer, but we believe that everyone who is made in the image of God has dignity and can contribute to supporting their families financially.
Wow, that's incredible. Shikhandi, we're going to have you back real soon. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure knowing you.
Folks, if you want to get more information, go to hopeforzambia.com/faith. That's hopeforzambia.com/faith. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Western culture tends to be pretty obsessed with royalty. We tune in for royal weddings. We listen to podcasts featuring prominent members of a royal family. Why is that? Might it be out of a desire to be a part of a prestigious social and political circle? Well, let me tell you, friend, you are part of a prestigious circle. You've been brought into a royal family, that of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Paul telling us in Colossians 1 that the Father has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. We were once outcasts, but now we're accepted in Christ. I'll see you at the heavenly royal wedding. Grow in your walk with Christ. Visit getanchor.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
God's purpose for your marriage isn't to make you happy, but to make you a better person. On the next Focus on the Family, marriage counselor Deborah Falada explains how marriage requires unconditional love and sacrifice. With humorous stories and a counselor's wisdom and heart, she'll cast a beautiful vision for a strong marriage next time on Focus on the Family.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance Program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
So grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, and it's time for your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. We've got lines open. We'd love to chat about anything financial, whatever you're wrestling with today in your financial life. We'll promise to provide an encouraging and hopeful and biblical approach to how you can think about moving forward in your financial life around whatever issue or conundrum you're facing today. So give us a call with lines open, 800-525-7000. We were delighted to be joined by Shikhandi Puri today, a Family Legacy, a ministry that we've, in a sense, adopted here at Faith and Finance. We love to promote generosity. We love to think about the opportunity to partner with God where He's at work. And when we look at the Council of Scripture, we see clearly what's on the heart of God is the ministry of God's Word, the ministry of God's justice, but also the ministry of God's mercy. And this ministry of Family Legacy, providing hope for Zambia, is clearly in that category of the ministry of God's mercy, as you have the opportunity to glorify God by serving the vulnerable and orphaned children of Zambia so they can live out their God-given potential. You can give to be a financial partner to contribute toward the needs of those young children and students who are currently unsponsored there in Zambia. You can sponsor a child. All of the information is at hopeforzambia.com/faith. That's hopeforzambia.com/faith. We'd love for you to check it out today. We'd like to be a part of helping to see dozens and dozens and dozens of children sponsored there in Zambia so they can ultimately have a hot meal and get an education and be a part of that safe environment, but most importantly, learn the love and the hope that's found as they surrender their lives to Jesus. Again, hopeforzambia.com/faith. All right, we're going to be taking your calls and questions here in just a moment. It looks like we've got a couple of lines open, 800-525-7000. Before we do, today's chapter of Proverbs, as you might know, there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, and many believers read a chapter a day according to the day of the month. Well, today's the 22nd of August, so let's look at a couple of verses from chapter 22 that relate to our topic here of faith and finance. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, folks, we have an opportunity to train up our children in a host of areas so they can be God-fearing, fully functioning adults. But that needs to include finances. That needs to include not only the financial literacy, but really a biblical worldview of money. We've got to model it, but we've got to be intentional about it as well. Also from chapter 22 in Proverbs, verse 7, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. We need to be on our guard. Borrowing changes the relationship, which is why we need to be especially careful when we're doing that in the context of a relationship with a family member or friend. But in all cases, we just need to understand this master-slave relationship that the Bible talks about whenever we are dealing with debt. We need to be careful. I mentioned the rules for borrowing just the other day. First, it needs to be the economic return needs to be better than the economic cost. We need to have spousal unity. We need to make sure there's a guaranteed way to repay. And we need to make sure that we're not intervening and robbing God of the opportunity to provide by stepping in with a quick fix, spending money that we don't have using debt. So if you follow those four principles, you'll keep yourself out of trouble for the most part, especially as it relates to this passage here today. Words of wisdom from today's chapter of the book of Proverbs. All right, let's take some phone calls today, 800-525-7000. Let's head to Mississippi. Glenn, you'll be our first caller, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Rob. Thanks for taking my call from sunny Mississippi here. I got a question. I work with some older gentlemen. We're all federal civil service employees. This one fellow that's over 80, and he's in remarkable physical condition. You'd never guess it. But we were talking, and next year I can retire with Social Security at age 62 and get about $2,000 a month benefit. He told me if you keep working, he keeps getting readjustments to his Social Security. I thought once you started taking it was premised off a certain age and income at that point. If I keep working, and, you know, Lord willing, if I lived to 80, which I don't think I will, but if I did and kept working, you know, to whenever, does Social Security update that monthly income based on my earnings that I earned since I retired at age 62? How does that work?
Yeah, they actually do. So once you start taking benefits, you lock that benefit in based on whether you take it early. You're going to get a reduction of about 8% per year for every year you take it before full retirement age, reduction from what they were estimating to be your full benefit. And conversely, if you wait beyond full retirement age, you'll get that 8% increase. But once you claim those benefits, you're going to lock that in. At that point, there's only two ways to see an increase in that monthly benefit. One is through the cost of living adjustment, which happens annually based on inflation. The second is by replacing one of your what they call high 35, which is the wages that were being used to calculate your benefit. So each year, Glenn, Social Security, not monthly, but each year, they review the records of all the Social Security beneficiaries who have wages reported for the previous year. And if your latest year of earnings is one of your high 35, then they're going to recalculate your benefit and pay you any increase you are due. And you'll typically receive your earnings for the prior year by the fall of the following year. So, for example, your earnings for 2021 will become available for a recomputation around September 2022 at the latest. So, yes, by continuing to work, assuming you're replacing one of those lower earnings years, you would have that reviewed annually, and that would result in you getting an increase.
Okay, well, thank you. It's good information to know.
Yeah. The other thing just to keep in mind, because you're taking Social Security before full retirement age, there is a maximum that you can earn without your benefits being reduced. Are you aware of that?
I was not aware of that.
Okay. You can only earn, I believe for 2023, it is $21,240. If you earn above that prior to full retirement age, then your benefit is going to be reduced a dollar for every $2 you earn above that limit. Now, that's not a permanent reduction, and here's why. When you reach full retirement age, whatever amount was withheld prior to full retirement age will be paid back to you over time in the form of a higher benefit until you're fully repaid. But it is going to reduce that benefit for the, you know, during those years prior to full retirement age. And it's, again, around that threshold of $21,240, okay?
Super. Well, I think that gives me encouragement to stay working and not collect Social Security until I get set age 70, because honestly, I don't need the money. And really, the only reason I'm working is you know, to make those benefits higher for my spouse and then the family.
I like that a lot. Yeah. And here's the other thing. You know, what we find is on average, it takes about 12 years to get paid back if you, you know, for the amount that you've given up between full retirement age and age 70. But then, assuming the Lord tarries and you're in good health, you'll get that higher check by about 24% for the rest of your life. So it's worth it. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back. Gloria, taking your call next on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Prior to birth, children need our help. Read A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life by Pastor Joseph Parker.
We are called this day to stand for the innocent and speak out on their behalf.
This collection of essays by Pastor Joseph challenges us to take a public stand to protect the lives of the unborn. A Pastor's Notes is available now at resources.afa.net.
The body of Jesus Christ must speak up.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got some lines open, ready for your calls on anything financial. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's head to Ohio. Hi, Gloria. How can I help you?
Hi, Rob. Thank you so much for your ministry. I had a question. Our advisor encouraged my husband to go with a company by the name of American Equity. And we transfer $200,000 over, and we make $20,000 over 10 years, which I'm not too sure about. But I didn't know. We looked them up. I couldn't find anything about how what they contributed to or what their how they did things. So I just wanted to know if you knew anything about it. I don't want to go with someone that's that supports abortion or, you know, LBG or anything like that.
Sure. Well, here's the great opportunity is that, you know, now more than ever, you're able to invest in a way that's aligned with your values and convictions, where you can exercise a liberty of conscience, you might say a personal discernment over your investments as you deploy capital, whether that's avoiding companies who are involved in, you know, political efforts outside of their core business, or embracing other companies that are promoting human flourishing or even having a kingdom impact. You have the ability to really align your investments and banking partners and the rest with those values that you hold to be near and dear to your heart. You know, I'll give you a resource. I haven't, you know, looked, I'm not familiar enough with American Equity and what they're doing to be able to weigh in on that one way or the other, but I think it's worth you exploring. There's a website called inspireinsight.com. That's inspireinsight.com, where you can basically search up to 40,000 plus ticker symbols, and they will give you a score and a report that aggregates from all kinds of data sources to help you identify where companies are using their corporate dollars and what initiatives you might want to be aware of as you subscribe to a Christian value set. And then you can make a personal discernment decision as to whether or not you're comfortable proceeding with that. The other approach would be to use an advisor who is skilled and adept in what we call faith-based investing, where they have the ability to do further analysis using a number of the tools that are available only to advisors, but where they can do additional screening in this type of manner to be able to, you know, really give you some understanding on whether this particular company aligns with your values. So I think the idea that you're considering is a good one, and there are some tools out there that you can take advantage of. Is that helpful?
Okay. Yes, thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome, Gloria. We appreciate your call today. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today with your financial questions. Let's take an email. These come to us at askrob@faithfi.com. By the way, if you have an email you'd like to send along, feel free to do it. Again, askrob@faithfi.com. We'll be going back to the phones here in just a moment. If you'd like to call right now, we've got some lines open at 800-525-7000. This comes to us from an anonymous listener who writes, can you provide me with some suggestions for any compound interest products where I can grow my money? If you answer on the radio, please don't use my real name, and we did not. Any savings account, anonymous, will give you a compound interest, just not very much of it. So if you don't like risk and you need to keep your savings liquid, such as with your emergency fund, I would suggest you put put that in an online bank savings account. Right now, they're paying north of 4%. If you don't need that money, you know, let's say for a year or two, then you may want to go again in that kind of guaranteed bucket, as long as there's FDIC insurance in most, if not all, banks and federally insured credit unions will have that, then you will have a guaranteed return of about 5.5% right now with a one-year CD. So that would be another option. If you don't need the money for 5 years and you're willing to take some risk, you could put some of this money into the market. Now, if you don't have a retirement plan at work, or even if you do, you could consider opening a Roth IRA and contributing to that. I'd perhaps recommend you use one of the discount brokerages like Fidelity or Schwab, and then you could begin investing either using one of the faith-based investing fund families we talk about often on this program, like Timothy Plan or Eventide or Guidestone, One Ascent, Lightpoint Portfolios, Crossmark Global. You'll find them on our website at faithfi.com. Just click on the show. That would be a great way to go. Or you could use a more traditional investing approach, but the key would be that you're taking a long perspective, you're properly diversified among stock and bond asset classes appropriate to your age and risk tolerance. And again, putting that in a tax-deferred or a tax-free growing Roth IRA would be a great opportunity. In terms of the allocation between stocks and bonds, a good rule of thumb, we used to use 100 minus your age. Because people are living longer, we now use 110. If you were to take 110 minus your age, let's say you're 60, 110 minus your age is 50. That would be the percent that you'd put in stocks. The remaining percent would go into bonds. So in the case of a 60-year-old, using that rule of thumb, you might have a 50-50 portfolio between a good mix of stocks, equities, and a good mix of bonds, corporate and governments, probably more so on the shorter end of the durations in this environment. Or maybe you go 45-45 and you put 10% in the precious metals. But that would be a way for you to at least get your head around how you might want to think allocating those investments. But again, take a long view. This is not a matter of jumping in and out of the market based on the market's ebbs and flows. So I hope that's helpful to you. All right, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We're going to take a quick break here, but when we come back, JD in Mississippi will be coming your way. JD wants to talk about a great topic, and that is finances in marriage. What about keeping your finances separate in marriage? Is that a good thing? Is that biblical? How should JD think about that? We'll talk about that just around the corner, and perhaps your question as well. Again, the number, 800-525-7000. This is Rob West, and here on Faith and Finance, we recognize God owns it all. We're stewards of His resources. Therefore, money is a tool, so we should hold it loosely, give it generously, and be on our guard around the deceitfulness of riches, which the Bible talks so clearly about. Back with much more just around the corner. Stay with us, Faith and Finance on American Family Radio.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Target is in the bullseye because of its transgender bathroom policy.
The petition by the American Family Association to boycott Target now surpassing 1 million signatures and counting.
People have their own beliefs and stuff, but what could it hurt? What could it hurt? What could it hurt?
It hurts our daughters.
It hurts you.
It hurts our families.
It hurts me.
It hurts all of us.
Sign the petition to boycott Target at afa.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
This fall, believers from across America will gather in our nation's capital. We'll hear from government leaders, policy experts, and leading Christian voices, learning how we can engage in government at every level, from local school boards to state legislatures to Congress and even the White House, to win back the soul of our nation. Join with us for the Pray, Vote, Stand Summit, Believe and Engage, September 15th through 17th. Register now at PrayVoteStand.org.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We started today with our good friend Chikandi Piri joining us all the way from Zambia, Africa, where he was talking about the incredible work that Family Legacy is doing to empower Zambian children, the most vulnerable and orphan children literally in the world per capita, to reach their fullest potential as they receive spiritual, intellectual, emotional, and physical care. So thankful for so many of you who have already responded and said, I want to be a financial partner to contribute toward the needs of students who are currently unsponsored there, coming out of the slums of Zambia and into a Christian school where they're fed. They can actually take a meal home with them. They have an education that's Christ-centered. They're introduced to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They get medical care. Incredible work. I've actually been on the ground in the slums with Family Legacy, and it's just awesome to see what they're doing in the name of Jesus. If you'd like to be a part of it, check out hopeforzambia.com/faith. That's hopeforzambia.com/faith. All right, let's take your calls and questions today. JD is in Mississippi, and he wants to talk about money and marriage. JD, go ahead, sir.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. My question is finances and marriage. If it makes a difference if our finances are together or if we have our separate accounts. I've been married a little over 30 years, and I make enough money to cover all the expenses. So her paycheck is not needed to cover anything. But in the beginning of our marriage, we had our finances together. And in the recent years, she would like to manage her money herself. And for me, I don't need the money, but me personally, I guess I just feel we're not doing finances together. We're doing it separate. And I'm not sure how to approach it and if there's a biblical approach to that conversation.
Yeah, I think there is. Would you give me your thoughts, JD, on why you think that is, that she's wanting that? What do you think's driving it? Is it really just her wanting to kind of do the management of it and the actual, handling of the finances, or is it about where the money's being directed? What do you think's behind it?
Well, from her family history, she comes from a family that did not manage their money well. And some of it, I think, is just out of security.
Sure.
To the best of my knowledge, like, her paycheck isn't going towards any household bills or any expenses. It's like, I guess I think it gives her a sense of security where she knows, I guess she has control. That's one thing she has control of, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. You know, here's the reality is the way we handle money today is largely influenced by how money was handled growing up. It's why I encourage couples that are going through premarital counseling and engaged to really talk about, well, starting with this one question, what is your earliest memory of money? And when you think about how money was handled growing up, whether it was there was an excess or maybe money was really tight, whether or not there was a budget modeled, whether there was a lot of debt in use, money created conflict in marriage. I mean, all of that informs how tightly or loosely we hold money today. So I think you would be well served to talk about that to the extent you haven't already. Put that on the table. Say, listen, honey, I know that the way money was handled growing up is influencing how you see money and handle it today, wanting to make sure that we're careful with it and that you don't lack security around, you know, perhaps the misuse of it. But I think the big idea here, JD, is we have to start with this idea that God owns it all, because he does. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So it's not a matter of what's yours and what's hers. It doesn't belong to either of you. It belongs to God. And when we start with that idea, then it doesn't matter whose name is on the paycheck. It's not, well, you got this amount and I got that. No, it all belongs to God. And two become one flesh in marriage. That's God's design for biblical marriage, which means it's now all one flesh. It's a part of your marriage. And it's what God has entrusted to you as a married couple, whether it comes through her employer, your employer, the government, an inheritance, a gift. It doesn't matter where it comes from. It all belongs to God. And together, you all have been charged with the stewardship, with the faithful management of these resources moving forward. So then how do we approach that? Well, we take a step back and we say, first of all, we need understanding. How was money handled growing up? How has God wired us? Who's the spender? Who's the saver? Undoubtedly, one of you is one and one is the other, because God doesn't, you know, one of you would be unnecessary if you were exactly the same. And then you need to look at your values and say, what's most important to us as a couple under Christ? Where are we going? You know, do we want to be have, you know, generosity be a hallmark of our family? Do we want to live simply? You know, do we want to create memories and use money as a tool that way? You know, do we want to live debt-free? And so we want to make that a priority. I mean, you've got to unpack your values and then set your goals. Because remember, the purpose of money is not to get more of it. The purpose of money is to accomplish a set of goals, but those goals have to be informed by our values. We don't take our cues from the world. We look back to God's word, which says we need to answer the question, who owns it and how much is enough? And we want to be giving as a priority in the management of God's resources. And when we take that approach, then it's no longer mine and yours. We're working together with understanding. We're bringing our unique personalities and wiring to the table. We're uncovering our values, which leads to goals. And then it's just a matter of managing the money and setting the budget, because that becomes now the instrument of peace that drives you toward accomplishing your goals. Money's just a tool. It's not good or bad. It's morally neutral. It's what we do with it. And then it doesn't matter who's actually paying the bills or pushing the buttons to, you know, on the bill pay, because you've already decided in advance how you want to use it. And you've wrestled through the things that she wants to have you know about what's going to make her feel safe and give her security, which means you might be prioritizing savings and having plenty of cushion and margin and having a fully funded emergency fund and, you know, not living paycheck to paycheck and all of those things that you decided in advance. And then as you do that together, it fosters ultimately God's real design, which is oneness. And that oneness is really the key. The problem is when we go towards separate finances, well, it just distorts the biblical worldview, because it says, well, this is mine and that's yours. Well, that's just not true. It's all God's. And it's going to drive us apart instead of driving us together. But you can't expect to drive together unless we start with understanding and we start with our values and all the things that I said. So perhaps your next step is to first pray and just say, God, will you be with me in this conversation I'm going to have with my wife as I share my heart with her around our opportunity as stewards and as we talk about and get a better understanding of where each is at. And then as we set shared goals around where we're going and how money can be a tool to accomplish that. And perhaps that will help you have a breakthrough here. But I've thrown a lot at you, JD. Give me your thoughts.
Well, I thank you very much. It's encouraging. I've been praying that the Lord would help me figure this out. And when I heard that there was lines open to call in, I thought, well, maybe this is the Lord answering my prayer. And you just kind of helped me kind of think things through.
Good.
And
I've got to take a break. I don't mean to cut you off, but I want you to stay on the line because I'm going to send you Howard Dayton's book, Money and Marriage, God's Way. I think that'll be an encouragement. We'll be right back.
Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school or even if they go to a Christian school. Parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
This is a unique moment in the history of our country where we have an opportunity to restore the foundations of this nation.
Tony Perkins of Washington Watch.
To a nation that once again honors God. It will not happen unless God's people are informed and engaged.
Join Tony Perkins for Washington Watch, weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evening at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature. But also, plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
So great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. You know, and if you're struggling with money and marriage, that book I mentioned is a great resource, Money and Marriage, God's Way. Perhaps you pick it up wherever you buy books and ask your spouse to work through it one chapter a week and see if God doesn't give you a renewed vision for managing his money together as a married couple. Hey, we're going to head back to the phones here in just a moment. Let me mention, though, Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio is listener-supported, which means we rely on your support to do what we do on the air and with our coaches and through our app and at faithfi.com, all the content and resources. So if you've benefited from this program in some way, you're a part of the Faith and Finance community, and you'd like to support our work, we'd be grateful for a gift of any amount beyond the giving to your local church and AFR. If you'd consider a gift, whether it's $4, $40, $400, or $4,000, whatever you might give would be a great blessing to us. Just head to faithfi.com and click give. That's faith. FI.com and click give. Thanks in advance. All right, back to the phones we go. Bright, thank you for calling in Texas as a first-time caller. Go ahead. Hello there.
Yeah, my question is, thank you for taking my call. And my
sure.
question is that I'm going to turn 62 next year, April.
Yeah.
And I went online and saw that my Social Security benefit will be $2,580 by the age of 65. So I want to know if I go retirement next year, how much will I lose?
Yeah. Well, if you look at the benefit you would get, not at 65, but at full retirement age, which is probably closer to 67, and that would be on your benefits report, your benefits statement online, your reduction at age 62 is going to come in at around 30% below that. So if you look at 62 versus full retirement age, you're looking at about 30%. On average, it's about 8% a year for every year you take it early. So the idea there, Bright, is that you really want to try to avoid taking it early if at all possible. You remember, Social Security was only intended to cover up to 40% of your pre-retirement income. Most folks live on 70 to 80% of their pre-retirement income, which is why you need to also be saving in a retirement plan. But when you take it early, you're going to trim that amount that you're getting, and it's going to, you know, be able to cover even less of your monthly expenses. So if you can delay that, continue working, let that grow, you will be well served to do that.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So you could could take about you'd probably get about 70% of that number is the number you would likely get. So that's why you'd want to wait if at all possible. Hey, thanks for being a first-time caller today. We appreciate you being on the program. God bless you. To Mississippi, hi, Donna. Go ahead.
Yes. My aunt is in an assisted living, and she had a long-term health insurance that was reimbursing her for, it's around $2,300 a month.
Okay.
Stay there.
Yeah.
It's about to end in about a month, and I'm just wondering about her stock investments. Should I take out some and put in CDs for her? I'm a trustee in the irrevocable trust she has. I'm just wondering if I should take some out and put in CDs so it won't be so vulnerable and we'll have it there to.
Yeah, I think that's wise. I'm not necessarily saying the CDs, but you're wise to think about the fact that all of a sudden now you've got a much shorter time horizon on a portion of this money that's going to be used in the coming years. Who is managing this account? I know you're the trustee, but who's selecting the investments?
When her husband was alive, they put it in Wells Fargo.
Okay.
And that was where it was at after he passed away, and I took her to take care of her.
Okay. Is there an advisor there at Wells Fargo that's making the investment decisions?
There is a new one there, but it's over in Arkansas. I brought her from Arkansas, so it's not right local.
Okay. How much is in that trust today? Roughly.
$98,000.
Okay. And how much are you going to need to pull per month?
Around $2,300.
About $2,000 a month. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're going to pull, $2,300 a month. You're going to be pulling about $28,000 a year. So, you know, you're thinking that money's really only going to last another 4 years. How is her health?
She has Parkinson's, but she does pretty well, you know, with it.
Yeah. Okay.
She's going to be 88.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why this money's there, right? I mean, obviously, you're going to be spending it down pretty quickly, but I think you're right in that now is the time to really be shoring up this money and just, you know, making the best return you can. But it's really about the return of the money, not the return on the money at this point, meaning you want to protect it, grow it modestly, but you don't want to take a lot of risk because you don't want to have to, you know, sell. Let's say next year you needed, you know, $25,000 and all of a sudden the market's down 20% because we're in a recession. That's not the ideal time to sell. So I would probably be looking to move it to the money market at this point. And then I think you would be well served to go ahead and start putting it into maybe next year's worth of funding goes into a high yield savings. And then you ladder some CDs, 1, 2, and 3 year CDs. So you've got a third of it coming due every year or a fourth of it coming due every year. And that way you've got the money you need. It's protected. You're still getting a decent rate of return on it, but you don't have to worry about the market volatility.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. God bless you. We appreciate your call, Donna. Thanks for taking such good care of your aunt. I know the Lord is pleased by your work there. Thanks for calling today. Hi, Gina in Kentucky. Go right ahead. How can I help you?
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Rob. Well, I want to thank you, first of all, for your financial ministry and for emphasizing, above everything else, biblical living and biblical giving. That is so vital. Well, thank you.
I appreciate that.
My question is this. Several weeks ago, it may have been longer than that, you had a guest on, and they were on the subject of a local account in a bank, and they were advising to, I may have misinterpreted this or misunderstood, but I thought that they were advising one to not have a money market account in their local bank, but to switch over to a checking or a savings. And I thought I might just call and get your clarification on that if I did misunderstand.
Yeah. I don't necessarily have a problem with the money market account. Most money market accounts are FDIC insured, and that's what most people are looking for, that federal deposit insurance up to $250,000 so that their money is guaranteed. And if the institution were to fail, the government steps in and provides liquidity and guarantees the money. And so as long as you're in a money market account that has that FDIC insurance, then it's really just a function of, how well are they going to serve you and, the website and, all the other customer service. And then the bigger issue is what is the rate, the interest rate on that money that you're earning. Money market funds, as in money market mutual funds, are a basket of money market accounts, and they do not carry that same FDIC insurance. And so, although it's very rare, we did have one of the big money market funds back in 08 and 09, what they call break the buck. So money market funds are supposed to always be at a dollar in terms of the value, the net asset value, and it actually went below a dollar, and they had to put money in to keep it at a dollar. And so that just illustrates that although it's a very small amount of risk, there is some risk with a money market fund. But as long as you're FDIC insured, then I think stay with whatever institution is convenient for you, and as long as they're paying, an attractive interest rate. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does, exactly, because what you've just said is really the bottom line for those two issues. And yeah. I guess I just wanted to hear that confirmed from you. But okay. Anyway, yes, that makes perfect sense. And I appreciate your time so much.
Well, thank you, Gina, and thanks for your kind remarks about the program. That means a lot. We appreciate you calling today. God bless you. Let's see. We're going to finish up in Louisiana quickly to Dave. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I was wondering, my wife and I both were 60 years old, and she's going to retire, and she's wanting to retire at the age of 62. Can she get her full retirement through the TRS at 62?
Yes. So she should be able to get that. Have you gotten paperwork on that, just to give you an explanation of your benefits from the teacher's retirement system?
She might have. I don't recall if she does or not.
Okay. All right. Well, the way it works is, you're eligible to retire with full retirement benefits once you complete either 30 years of service, regardless of your age, or 10 years of credible service, as long as you're 60 or older. It varies by state, so you'd want to check with that particular state just to see what the specific regulations are. What we were talking about earlier is a reduction in benefits at 62, specifically related to Social Security. But with the teacher's retirement system, it's really going to come down to years of service. There's not, and as long as you're 60 or older. But I would check with Louisiana, have her check with her specific TRS program, and just find out what those rules are regarding taking that benefit. God bless you, Dave. We appreciate you being on the program, sir. Well, that's going to do it for us today, folks. So thankful to have you along with us. Hey, if you'd like to support our work, you can do that at faithfi.com. Just click give. And one more time, let me remind you, if you'd like to help the orphaned and vulnerable children of Zambia, we'd certainly be grateful for your partnership and sponsorship there. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith. This is Rob West on behalf of Robert, Devin, and Robert. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.